Blog Talk Radio.
From two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska, this is the Side Vibe, brought to you by Dogworks Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and Dogworks Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Side Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming, and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood sides on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. And on the line is my co-host calling in from Hudson Valley in New York, Dorothy Raftery. How's it going, Dorothy?
Hi, Robert. Good. How's it going with you?
Everything is well up here. What is going on in your part of the world?
Oh, you know, we're just trying to, you know, plug along here. The Side kids are all doing well, and I have some projects. I'm trying to wrap up the next Five Sides tale that's kind of been on delay for the better part of the year. My illustrator had some personal things she had to tend to, so we had to put the book on hold. So hopefully we'll be wrapping that up soon. And a couple exciting epilepsy projects that I want to talk to you about, too, we got going on.
You know, I've read your first book, What's Wrong with Gibson, and awesome job on that one. I'm sure you've received a lot of good feedback back and forth on that one. Of course, that's kind of your crusade with your little guy there, Gibson, and his epilepsy. But what is the second book about that you're going to have published here relatively soon?
The second book is, again, I guess keeping in the vein of healthcare. It's Getting Healthy with Harley is the working title, and it's going to actually be about things just basically what it even applies to us humans is, you know, different things that you can do with your dogs to keep them healthy, you know, exercise, food, you know, so it's kind of, they're going to take that route. Harley's taking the lead this time, and she's kind of the canine Jillian Michaels in the book. So hopefully, you know, it'll be fun. I've seen about 3/4 of the illustrations, and I'm really excited to get this book out there, and I'm already working on the third one, so.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So getting Healthy with Harley, when do you have an anticipated release date?
Last fall. as sometimes things go in the publishing world, and, you know, some, like, as I said, my illustrator had a few things she needed to take care of that put it on hold. So I am hoping that we will have it out this summer if everything goes well.
Very good. Well, you know, Dorothy, on today's show, we're going to take a little bit different route than we typically do. Typically, we'll have an interview where we're going back and forth with our guest, and they're talking about themselves and their dogs or what they do in the dog world. But today, we're going to introduce the world to your Five Sides. That's how this whole thing came about. That's your passion. That's what you talk about and write about and just have everything involved pretty much in your life today with these five guys that you have, guys and gals, that you have affectionately called the Five Sides, and of course you're the Five Sides mom. So before we get into talking about each one individually, what can you tell us about them as a group? How did they come about? You know, just give us a little history of how all these guys and gals came to live with you.
Okay. Initially, I've always had probably about never five dogs at one time. Growing up, my parents were always great animal lovers, and we rescued a lot. My mom had poodles from breeders. Many of our dogs were always from either folks couldn't have them or they were abandoned at my father's business, and we wound up taking them in. And we also really support and I still do, our local SPCA. My previous two dogs since I was married came from our local SPCA. I did not know a lot about rescues and things like that. At that time, our focus was always right here on our own shelter, the SPCA. And my daughter always wanted a Siberian Husky ever since she was little. And, of course, as any parent, I started her off with a bunny, and, you know, and also our dog have her start helping with the care of our dog. And I always told her, when you can take care of a dog on your own, you can have your Husky. And I knew nothing about Huskies at the time. And it's funny because I think back and, you know, again, I think at the time I fell under the same impression I think a lot of people do. They see them, they have intense eyes, and sometimes they don't realize that they are just amazing social and family animals. And so when my daughter was getting ready to graduate from high school, we decided it was time. You know, she was definitely ready. So we went on the hunt for a good breeder. At the time, I wasn't aware of Husky rescues at all. That has all come to light after I became involved and dubbed them the Five Sides and started really reaching out to people. But at that time, you know, we actually found Harley from a very reputable breeder. They did a wonderful job. She comes from a great bloodline. She's a great dog. So we brought her home. She was about 8 weeks. She was pretty much on the young side when we brought her home. And she was our first, and she definitely holds the role as our alpha queen. We call her a faux alpha because when Jen has her, my daughter has her out in school, she would actually hide behind my daughter's leg. So, but when she's home with the rest of the crew, she's pretty much the alpha, and also became the surrogate mom to the pups, which we'll get to them. So she was our first. At the time, I had my elderly dog, Chelsea. She was an Akita German Shepherd mix that we adopted from our SPCA as a pup. And she was getting older and had some health issues. And what we didn't know until way later was she had the starting of canine Alzheimer's. And
right.
As a result, she would, in the middle of playing with the puppy, turn on her, try to attack her. And my husband and I both thought, you know, we really need, Harley was a very active husky puppy, as everybody knows, they're extremely active. And, you know, he just said, you know, why don't we get a mate for her so she has someone she can play with, and then that way we can keep Chelsea, you know, just a little more quieter because she does have these growing issues. And we were worried about the puppy getting hurt, and we didn't want anything to happen to Chelsea. So, I went on the look, and I found Gibson not too far from where I live. They had had some puppies, and we went over there, and he was a four-month-old fluff ball. They were not your top-of-the-line breeders. Now I've come to recognize they were backyard breeders. I think they tried, but the puppies were not in the greatest of condition. The first thing I had to do was bathe him, give him a good bath. And he was just, you know, he was woolly. The other ones that were running around had the short fur, and I thought he was just adorable. And so I brought him home, and the second he made it home, he instantly fell in love with Harley, and he's still in love with her to this day. And they hit it off great, and they were just, we now call them the originals, the married couple, the lovebirds, because they're just pretty much always together. And Harley, she can sometimes, you know, she gets a little husky on him where she's like, okay, I want to be on my own today. But for the most part, I mean, he just adores her. So
Dorothy, if I can interject just for a second, you were talking about when your daughter graduated high school and that sort of thing. Can we get a time frame of when this was? How long ago?
Harley was born in March, actually on March 10th of 2005.
Okay.
And she came to us. We got her, it was probably about May we brought her home. Gibson, he came the following year. He was born on January 6th of 2006, and I brought him home in April of that year. We did wind up, you know, losing Chelsea to canine Alzheimer's, and we thought, well, you know, now we have the two, and everything was going great. And well, we have a small family business that my husband has, and one of the customers owed him some money, and it turns out that it was the same people who were breeding these dogs. And we decided, I said to my husband, why don't you just see if they'll give us one of the puppies? So we decided to go over. At the time, my daughter was moving out, and she decided she was going to leave Harley with me because she was so used to Gibson, and we didn't want to separate them. And where she was going to, her apartment was near a road, and with Harley kind of being the really frisky, energetic husky, we just thought, you know what, for her safety's sake, we're going to leave her here. So when she was kind of thinking about getting another dog, but not necessarily. So long story short, we went over there. They agreed to us taking one of the puppies, and they were in horrendous condition. They were out in the mud hole with, like, a cardboard building, and all the pups were piled in one dish trying to eat, and we left with three. Wolfie, I don't know who attached who to whom, but Wolfie was in my arms and I couldn't put him down. My daughter fell in love with Chloe, and we couldn't look at any more of them because it was heartbreaking. And now, of course, you know, I know now. It's kind of like when we talked to Jessica, too. You know, now at this point, I realize don't support backyard breeders. No puppy mills. At that time, you're holding these puppies. You're looking at the condition. There was fencing around. They had other huskies separated. They had Pomeranians. And like I said, I think that they thought they were doing well, but it was definitely not a great environment. And we left with three.
Wow.
So that's how we got five sides.
So you have Gibson, Harley, Chloe, Wolfie, and what's the fifth one?
Bandit, who is a girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of people on our page refer to Bandit as a he, but someone else named her, and I didn't want to change her name. So, and it's, she's true to form because she steals everything. She thinks everything's hers. If anything's missing, look under her. So we said, you know, her moniker fits her perfect, so we decided we're keeping it for her.
So how old are the three of them?
I fondly call them the pupsters. Sometimes I'll write about them, but they just turned five, and they also have January birthdays. January 19th in 2008 is when they were born. So they just turned five. So they're five. Gibson just turned seven, and Harley just turned eight.
So before we get into talking about each one of them and their very unique traits and lifestyles, my first question to you, besides, you know, going to this place and you know, coming home with three of them, why in the world would somebody want to have five dogs in their house? So I you know, I'm not one to argue. I have 30 of them down in the dog yard, and we always have four or five in the house at any given time. But, man, that's got to be craziness in your house, having all these guys running around at one time.
You know, I have definitely heard that before. I hear it a lot from non-dog people, especially a lot of relatives. My husband likes to refer to it as the weak moment because he couldn't say no, and I wasn't even going to ask about bringing Wolf home, even though I was attached to him and crying because I just couldn't put him back there, and he just said, let's go. And I'm just like, okay. It actually is not as crazy as people think it is. It has its crazy moments, but they've really settled into a really great routine. You know, they're almost like a husky train. A lot of times they will lay out on the deck in the sun together. When they come in just like a train. The mad dash is mostly going out in the morning because they all rush to the back door and try to see who's going to be first to get out the door, and I really think they have to go out, so it is a little hectic. And coming in for meals gets to be very exciting and very hectic. When none of them have any health issues or any kind of knee or leg injuries, we have a larger side of our yard that when we open the gate, we open it up and we let them full out run and play. And again, I don't know how they don't trip over each other or smash into each other, but they run off the deck like a train, and then they're zigzagging all around the yard. Bandit tends to be airborne, so if anyone's in her way, she just leaps over them. But they really are pretty good. You know, they come in, and they're usually excited for the first 5 minutes, or if we have people over, they love people, and they're really excited. They have to come out and say hello, or they have to come in and greet them. And then within 5 minutes, you don't even realize that there are five dogs in the house. It's all quiet, and they have their favorite spots, which normally is in the kitchen underneath the nook bench, which I've posted photos about. But they actually are pretty good.
Very cool. And I know I've seen those pictures of them lounging around the couch, you know, watching TV and doing all that stuff. And, you know, we have our two Siberians in the house. They refuse to – well, I guess they don't refuse. I guess it's more of our choices. They want to be the house huskies. And, you know, they get to lay around and eat cheese and hang out with us.
Yeah.
And our boy Bodie, he absolutely loves everything, and he and I share jelly beans all the time. So it's just kind of our little deal that he and I do. But, you know, what's cool about your guys' setup, I know you've talked about it in the past, is these guys, they don't sleep everywhere around the house. They have their own bedroom, don't they?
They do. When they're rehabbing, they come out and they sleep in our room if they have, like, an injury or if any of them are not feeling good. But they do have their own bedroom complete with a fan and air conditioner. You know, they have crates with beds, and usually a million toys are in Bandit's crate. They do. And we keep an air conditioner there for them. We also have the air conditions upstairs on for them. I've been known to have windows open in the winter for them. You know, it's all about their comfort.
Do you guys travel a lot with these guys, whether it's just to the local dog park or anything, or are they pretty much just house dogs? Do they get out and about?
Some do and some don't. I would have to say the majority is we have a good-sized yard, so I don't need to take them to a dog park, and we're fortunate in that respect. We have Harley loves the car. She was absolutely from the moment we brought her home, she crawled up on the back of the car and slept all the way on the shelf, and she loves the car. And you know, she rode a lot with my husband previously. He was in law enforcement, and she went with him everywhere, and my daughter takes her. She jumps in the car, and she's like a princess. She loves it. Gibson, he and Harley used to travel well together. Since he has epilepsy, I don't really change his environment. I like to keep things pretty much, you know, scheduled, what he's used to, where he's comfortable in his atmosphere. You know, I just don't want to add any more stressors to him. So I don't travel much with him unless it's something like to the vet. Otherwise, you know, he's pretty much a homeboy. And the puppies, they love to go in the car. They get really, really excited. You know, they like to go. But again, you know, we have so much here we can offer them that I don't really have to take them anywhere. But we will take them on individual outings, you know, Bandit, because sometimes the other ones, like Gibson, may need a lot of care because of his epilepsy. And I always like to make sure that they each have their special time. So, you know, I'll take Bandit out, and we'll go to she's actually starting school because we've discovered she's partially deaf. But we'll go up to, you know, PetSmart, and she loves it. She loves the car, and they do. And we'll stop at McDonald's, and their very special treat is vanilla ice cream. And, you know, we try to make it a fun thing. But usually the trips are basically to PetSmart, the vet. Harley and Wolf will take for little extended rides. But, you know, they're pretty much house dogs.
Do you live out in the country, or are you pretty close to town?
No, I'm not in the country. I guess it's more suburban. It's kind of like a small city, but where we live, we're tucked in, and, you know, we have a decent sized backyard for them, and, you know, it's pretty quiet.
So tell us about, you know, I know the answer to this question, but I'm sure a lot of folks don't. Tell us about the amount of dog food that you guys go through every month. I'm sure it's got to be a lot with five dogs.
I should probably get my husband on the phone for that answer. a lot. I don't actually keep track because I don't think I want to know. But a lot. You know, we go. He actually will go out and buy the super duper sized bags, so it's less trips.
Sure.
Now they're all kind of on. They were on the same for a while, but, you know, now Harley's a little older, so I do add mature food to her. Gibson, because of his epilepsy, there's weight issues from the medication, so I do have him on a lower calorie dog food. But yeah, a lot of dog food.
Wow. So, Dorothy, before we talk about each individual dog, I want to know how you got started with this whole this whole deal with the blogs and everything about about them, you know, chronicling their pretty much their daily lives with pictures and stories and all that. How did that come about? Did you just wake up one day and think, you know, I have five dogs, there's got to be a story here, I've got to write about this and share it with the world?
Yes and no. Initially no, because I'm a photojournalist by trade, and so writing and photography and, you know, just journaling pieces of life has always been something that I've done. Typically it was in print, and I've worked with video for a long time. It's not that far of a jump that I decided to enter the blog world, because blogging was just becoming kind of like the big thing. But what really started was when Gibson had his first seizure. I did not know it was a seizure. It was a very scary time. I was actually home alone at the time, and I heard banging, and I went downstairs, and because it was the middle of the night, and he was sleeping in his kennel. And when I went down there, he was rigid and foaming and not breathing, and I thought something happened to him. I thought I lost him. And, you know, so in between all the chaos of, you know, trying to call the emergency vet hospital, and I must have sounded like a crazy woman, because I was actually asking them, don't they have an ambulance that can come get my dog? But, you know, I talked to the woman there, and miraculously, you know, and as everyone who has an epi dog now knows, you know, there are stages, of course. I turned around, and he stumbled up. He got up, and he stumbled out. And I was just like, oh, my God. I was telling the emergency hospital going, it's a miracle. He's alive. When that happened, of course, my background being in, journalism, I went right onto the internet, started researching, finding out, you know, different things. You know, well, of course, in between, I had taken him to the vet, and we found out he had a seizure. So I went out there, and at that time, I was on MySpace, and this wonderful gal named Lori from Texas reached out to me. She's a nurse, and one of her dogs is epileptic, and she just reached across the miles to a complete stranger. And honestly, Robert, she held my hand through the whole thing. She told me things, taught me things, put me on the outlook so when he did have future ones, I was prepared for him better. Not that you're ever totally prepared for it, but I knew that this could happen. She just was great. So I decided, after talking to her, I really felt like, well, there had to be other parents out there, other dog parents out there like me who went through this and didn't know a thing about it, and there has to be resources and things available. So I just started talking about it, actually, on MySpace, and her and I have stayed in touch, and to this day, we're great friends, and we've never met, but we're amazing friends, and I just thank her so much for her support, and I just kind of wanted to pay it forward and try to see what I can get, find out as much information, and get it out there for other people, too, so maybe they won't have to experience what I did with him and feel so alone, and I waited probably about a year, maybe longer, before I decided to make his journals public. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to put them out there, because it's just something that, as an epileptic parent, you can relate to it. And if you read it, you know, they're raw. The writings are all raw. But they're out there so that they know that when this is happening, what you're feeling, it's normal. You know, there are places to go. There are things to do. You know, you're not alone, and you don't have to think this is it for your dog, because they can go on and live, you know, happy, healthy lives. We don't know how long it'll be. That's the nature of epilepsy. You don't know if they're managed for so long, you know, you could have a breakthrough seizure. We all hope we don't, but we count it by hours and to days. You know, we don't look long range. And every time, you know, you click off another day that the dog is seizure free, it's a great thing. So it just kind of grew from there. I eventually, my MySpace page is dormant because, of course, Facebook came out, and that just became such a easier, more interactive format. And then I decided to do the blog, and just, I didn't think anybody was going to read it. You know, I love to write. This was an important thing. And I decided, well, I'm just going to start, because the dogs are, you know, they have different things they do. They are characters. There are health things we can talk about. And I decided the 1 year to kick it off, and I actually started off with, Dental Awareness Month in February. And it just kind of started from there. And that was a little over 3 years ago.
And on your Facebook page, the Five Sides News and Reviews page, you guys do a lot of good work on there by promoting lost dogs and rehomed dogs and all that sort of stuff. When did that come about?
I think as I started learning and when I was doing the blog, I started hearing and seeing things come across social networking about homeless huskies and husky rescues, and that was something I did not know anything about. So I actually started reaching out to some of them saying, you know, I'd love to put your logo on my blog. And at first the anticipation was because mine weren't rescue dogs, they weren't, and, you know, I was kind of new in the canine arena, you know, they actually reached out and corresponded with me to kind of get the feel of what I was going to do. And I'm like, I'm here to support the breed. You know, I'm very, you know, if it's a good breeder, excellent. Backyard breeders, no. Puppy mills, no. I now know about husky rescues, and I wanted to just try to get the word out there because I hadn't known about them. So I thought, let me help you get the word out about them so people know that you're out there. And if they're thinking about a husky, why not start there first? You know, if I knew about husky rescues back earlier on, I most certainly would have went there because, like I said, all my dogs came from the SPCA. So, you know, it kind of started where I started seeing this, and then it just grew. I mean, there are days I'm actually astounded that we're looking at one breed and so many that are homeless, have been abandoned, you know, poorly taken care of. And these rescued people are doing a magnificent job, whether they're fostering. And most of them don't have a building. Most of them work with getting foster homes to get these dogs into. They get them, you know, veterinarian care. And they rely a lot on volunteerism and donations. And I just thought, we've got to get this out there to help them, to help the huskies. So it just kind of grew from there. So whenever I have an opportunity that I can help spread the word about, you know, one of these homeless huskies, or sometimes they might have a medical problem, you know, I really try to help as much as I can, because the bottom line is really to help these huskies, and hopefully someday we're not going to have such an epidemic. I mean, we're looking at one breed, and when you take a step back and you look at all the breeds and all the dogs that this is affecting, I mean, we really truly have an epidemic out there.
You know, and speaking about spreading the word, you've had your Side Vibe show, I believe, since August. That was our first episode. But it was quite a bit of a chore, at least on my side, to convince you to do it. You were quite a bit nervous, weren't you?
Yes. I can't say that I'm not 100% not nervous at this point. I think, for me, I've always been a behind-the-scenes type of person. Being kind of like in the spotlight and kind of being like on cue, it made me a little nervous. I think you've been wonderful. You've certainly shown me some of the ropes. You've just made it a very comfortable experience. And then the response that we get back from the folks, and they're not necessarily all Siberian Husky folks, but they're people who love canines in general. And the response has been terrific. And again, I tried to get past my nervousness because I think we do a lot of good by getting word out. I know we launched it with the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida, and we also highlighted Tales of the Tundra Rescue. And, you know, we had Marion Mitchell on for canine epilepsy awareness. So there's just – and the pool is so huge that you really convinced me that, you know, we really could do a lot of good with the show. So – but I still get nervous, Robert.
Well, that's perfectly understandable. You know, I get nervous from time to time, too, and I've been doing this for over 4 years, so I totally understand those nerves, but I do think you're doing a lot of great work. You know, it's not the same necessarily as blogs and Facebook, and you don't see that necessarily, you don't necessarily see that immediate feedback back and
right.
forth, because, you know, your shows are up all the time on the Internet, and it's amazing when I look at the I get a report every week of what people are listening to. It's amazing how people are listening to the first shows that you did, even today, you know, seven, eight months later, they're still really enjoying those stories that we talked about, like you said, with the beginning shows, with the rescues and all that. So mm-hmm. I think you're doing awesome work here with the Side Vibe, and, of course, everything that you're doing on Facebook and Twitter and your blog as well. So, Dorothy, I definitely want to get to the subject matter of this show and talk about each individual dog. Let's start with Harley. Let's do them kind of in the order of when you got them. tell everybody about, you know, everybody sees pictures of these guys, and of course your hardcore fans, your fans that know your dogs well, know who they are by sight, but some of
them
do.
They do, and they, I actually get smiling at some of the compliments because they know some of the little idiosyncrasies of each of the dogs, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool, you know.
Right, right. So tell us about each dog and describe what they look like. You know, is this one gray and white? Is this one the white one? Is this one the one with blue eyes, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay. Well, it's only fitting we start off with our queen. I always refer to her as our alpha queen, and that's Harley. And she's our black and white, and she's the smallest of the bunch. She's about 48 pounds, and she's just a firecracker. She is just husky through and through. We always joke and say that she definitely has the attitude, and I think anyone who has a husky totally knows what that is. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it is what it is. She's super smart. Sometimes a little too smart, because when you talk to her, she can outfox us because she knows what we're going to say or do, and then she'll do what she wants to do. You know, they're all very good. They all listen, but she's the one who will, like, well, if she don't feel like it, we call it giving us the tail. She will just definitely turn around and give us the tail and walk the other way. So when my daughter first started training her, you know, I had a different method of training dogs. You know, everything, of course, was, you know, positive reinforcement, but, you know, you teach them commands and they learn, and it's great. And she told me, she goes, no, you can't do that with Harley. You need to have a conversation with her. And I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, no, Mom. She says, you have to talk to her, have a conversation. She has to understand what you're saying, and then she'll do it. And I was just like, oh, this is crazy. No. And yes, that's exactly right. That's what we have to do with Harley. We have to have a conversation, and she will look at you, and she'll tip her head, and she gets it. This dog has an extensive vocabulary and understanding. And yes, I changed my way of training with her. Yeah, so with Harley, it's all about conversation and convincing her that what you want her to do is what she wants to do. But she's an amazing dog. She really is. And when the puppies came along, they're not hers by blood, but she took them immediately under her wing and became their surrogate mom, and she did it with all three. And she's an amazing, amazing girl.
So I'm always interested, Dorothy, how the names came about. I spent a lot of time and effort thinking about names for dogs. Of course, we have 30 of them, so it's a little more difficult than having one or two.
And you asked me about five.
Under each dog, as we're describing them, tell us about the name. What is it? What does it represent? How did it come about? That sort of thing.
Well, Harley's full name is Nana Carly Murray, and it's M-A-R-I. And Harley was a name Jen knew she wanted to name her husky Harley ever since she knew she wanted a husky. It didn't have anything to do with the bike, believe it or not. She just always really liked the name. And, you know, it's a very fitting name for her, because when you do think of Harley, you do think of the motorcycle. And it's just, you know, kind of like a tough, cool, tough name. And it too fits her, because she can be tough. And she's a really cool girl. So that's how her name came about.
And you said she's 8 years old now?
She just turned 8 in March.
So Harley, 8-year-old, black and white, right?
Mm-hmm. Blue eyes.
With blue eyes. Okay,
yep.
The next one we're going to talk about is your boy Gibson.
My boy Gibson.
How old is he and what does he look like?
Gibson just turned 7 in January, and he is the big boy. He's the big, fluffy, woolly, they call it wolf gray. You know, and he has blue eyes, and he has one party eye, which is, a lot of people know, of course, party eyes are when they have the brown pigment or a different pigment throughout their eye, and he has a brown pigmentation at the bottom of his eye, so he always kind of looks like he's got a semi-wink going on. And he's my epileptic. He was diagnosed shortly after his 3rd birthday in 2009, and pretty much everybody knows Gib because he's the biggest. He's the biggest and the fluffiest, and he's got the heart of gold. And wherever Harley is, you'll find him.
So you mentioned earlier in the show that you think that these guys are soulmates or lovers in doggy life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that relationship.
Mm-hmm. for him, he was smitten immediately, and he was just a four-month-old puppy, and he was just, he actually, we joke that he gets this little silly, goofy look about him whenever she's around, and he still has it. And, you know, if he's on his own, you know, if he's on his own kind of laying down and she's off being all active with the puppies, as soon as she comes back in his immediate area, he perks up, his head perks up, and he's all focused on her. If they're laying out on the deck, you'll find them together. If they're laying in the house, you'll find them together. I think he's definitely more in love with her than she is with him, because sometimes we'll joke that she uses him. If it's really cold, he's fluffy and woolly, and she'll curl up inside him. But we know he can't be without her. If she leaves the house, he just will become extremely vocal, and he starts doing, I call it the Gibby hop, because he doesn't actually jump. He doesn't actually run. He's kind of between a horse and a bunny rabbit hop. It's actually kind of funny to watch, but we call it his little Gibby hip hop. But he gets very, very excitable and upset until she's back in his area. So you can see it on whenever they're together. It's just they're happy.
Very cool. And how did his name Gibson come about?
Well, I know you're into the rock music as well. And Gibson was actually named after the guitar. His full name is Gibson Les Paul of Mystic Mountain. And my daughter, she's a musician, and she said Gibson would be a cool name for him. And I'm like, you know what? It really would. And so he's Gibson.
Very cool. Yeah, Gibson guitars. Anybody that knows anything about music knows about the Gibson guitars for sure. And you said he's 7?
He just turned 7 in January.
Very cool. Okay, so now we're getting into what you call the pups, the three of the guys that you got together. Let's start with Wolfie.
Yep, the pupsters. And I just want to add that they are actually Gibson's younger siblings by blood by 2 years. They are actually related. Harley, we call her our New York snob because we got her down in New York, and yeah, so she's our little queen. But the pupsters, yeah, Wolf is short for, we've also dubbed him Wolfie, but his full name is Wolfgang White Wolf of Mystic Mountain, and he kind of does resemble a wolf, as we've been told. So, you know, that, of course, can be very concerning when he's out, you know, just because people have misconceptions of both. But even our vet said if we got him yellow contacts, I could probably take him around on a tour in the schools. And he's my little boy, even though he's about 70 pounds. And I might add, Gibson's 98 pounds, which is actually good for him because the epilepsy medicine brought him up to 116 pounds. So if there is anyone out there who doesn't know what to do, they can feel free to talk to me. I have some tips. You know, I've talked about them all the time, too, between, you know, supplementing pumpkin and green beans and into the diet. But it took me 2 years, but I worked hard with him through diet and exercise, and he lost the weight from, 116 down to 98. And my goal for him is 95.
Wow. You know, but I don't want to stray too off topic, but at 98 pounds and 70 pounds, those are big huskies. I think the standard is about 50. So these guys are pretty large in terms of the standard of the husky, aren't they?
Yeah, the male, the female can run like 35 to 50, and then the male can run 50 to 70 would really be touching that top end. You know, it's not typically your average, but Wolfie's more leggy than weight. You know, he's tall, and he's just, I think his fur might weigh 10 pounds. it's funny because if you look at the white huskies, you know, they typically have either short fur like Chloe or longer fur like Wolfie. He's not a true woolly like Gib, but you know it is in there. But I have seen other dogs out there because I look at them and the white ones either do look like Chloe or Wolf, so it is kind of unique. But yeah, he's on the higher end, but he's trim. You know, he's not a heavy dog at all. I mean, you know, Gibson, he's a big boy. But yeah, he's my baby boy, and he's more shyer of the pack. My daughter thinks he's real baby, because, you know, he just he loves to be by you. He loves to be by himself sometimes. If they get playing rough, he loves to play with them, with his siblings and with Harley and Gib. But when it gets too rough, he definitely pieces out. He don't want anything to do with it. He doesn't really like a lot of head touching by people. You know, and again, it's a trait that's not uncommon to, you know, even I met some wolves on a bus, and they said that the wolf will allow me to meet them once. And I don't have any experience with them at all. I was working on a story. But some of the mannerisms remind me of him, so which is another reason why, you know, it's not a good thing to promote. Like, sometimes people have wolf dogs because there are just so many people out there that don't understand it, and it can be dangerous for a dog. So, but he's all husky, and he's just a big baby, and, you know, he's very talkative. And it's funny because when he was younger, he would hit these sing-song notes, and my daughter and I would get laughing because we called him Axel, for Axel Rose, of course, from Guns N' Roses, because he would hit these warbly kind of notes that you just never hear from a dog, and we're like, wow.
Wow.
He's kind of the Axel of the crew, but he's named, of course, after two musicians, Wolfgang Amadeus and Wolfgang Van Halen, so that's how he got his name.
Very cool. And how old are these guys again?
Wolf is five.
Five.
The pupsters are all five. All three of them turned five. And he, too, has blue eyes. And most people that follow me on Facebook and the blog know he's also the resident sleepyhead. Wolf loves to sleep.
Very cool.
And, yeah, he's, you know, he's a good boy.
So the next one is Chloe. Tell us about her.
Mm-hmm. Chloe, she's like Wolf's twin, but short for her. Chloe is a sweetheart. She's definitely the pack sweetheart. A lot of people will remember she went through double bilateral cruciate imbrication surgery over a year ago, and she rehabbed, and she's doing very well. People were amazing when she went in for surgery because both of her legs blew out when she went to jump up on a bed, and it really surprised us. She was only four. And people were amazing. I mean, she got get-well presents and get-well cards, and they were just, the support was just incredible, and she had a long rehab, but she's doing good. She's back to jumping up on the sofa. I was so proud of her when she countersurfed. I post a picture, and I'm like, okay, normally people don't want their dog to countersurf, but knowing her history, she had no use of her two back legs at all. Seeing this dog jump up to countersurf was like, oh my God, moment, you know. So she's got a hitch in her walk. When she walks and she runs, you know, it's definitely different. But she's back to running again. You know, everything kind of came in stages. Jumping on the furniture was around Christmas, and we were shocked because we didn't think she was ready yet, and she just did it. You know, and then, you know, of course the counter surfing came, and then now she's been running in the backyard, and she started in the snow. She started running again, and we were just really pleased with her. But she's our pack sweetheart. She wouldn't hurt a fly. She is probably the most vocal of all of them. Chloe always has something to say, and she gets very aggravated if you don't respond the right way. So we're kind of like, we wish we knew true Siberianese, because this dog gets very frustrated if you don't get what she's trying to tell you. By the same token, as smart as she is and as verbal as she is, she's also kind of like our resident blonde. Chloe can be a little ditzy at times, which adds to her charm. You know, she's by no means not intelligent. She's very intelligent because yesterday I wanted to, like, you know, take some pictures of the dogs, and you talk to her and you tell her, okay, show me this or show me that, and she goes right over to whatever it is that you want her to show you. And so she's smart, but she's the same one who'll whip her head around a little too quick and come in contact with another dog's head or the counter, or you'll be talking and all of a sudden everybody's out playing and you're like, where's Chloe? And she's still up there kind of checking out the birds in the sky, and we're like, Chloe, come on. So yeah. but she's the pack sweetheart. She loves everybody.
And how did the name Chloe come about?
Again, my daughter. She always knew if she had a white husky, she wanted to name her Chloe, and she did. So she, too, has a little bit of a rock name because her full name is Chloe Van Wild, of course, for Zach Van Wild.
Oh, geez.
Yep. So,
I did not know you were such a rock fan. You're pulling out names that you don't hear very often.
Yep. Yeah. through and through, and my daughter is too. And Harley and Chloe, I might want to add, are my daughter's two babies.
Very cool. And the last one is Bandit.
Bandit. Yes, Bandit. Bandit is definitely, she's a smart girl. Bandit, we say, we believe has a little ADD. She would make a very bad sled dog because you'd be out there and she'd be like, oh, squirrel, boom, left. Oh, wait, I was supposed to be over here, boom, right. She just, her attention spans all over. She loves to be loved. She is definitely the resident thief. And she, Bandit, is the other gray and white one, again, with blue eyes. And she's the second smallest of the pack. She's about 50 pounds. And Chloe, she ranges right around 62 to 65. Bandit, we recently found out she's partially deaf, which explains a lot. She has her moments where, I mean, usually they're all together in a pack, but she'll steal things from everybody, even if it's theirs, and then she can get a little possessive. So we have to keep an eye on her. But normally she's the one, she can run faster than the wind. She's airborne quite a bit because she will jump over the other dog. She will leap over the holes in the yard. Her and Wolf have they chase everything that dares to come into our yard. They're the ones who try to tell them they can't be in our yard, and we've had some success with them catching a few things. She's super fast. She even catches mice. So she's a good girl. She's fast, and she just sometimes is in Bandit world, but we love her.
And Bandit, you said, was black and white and often mistaken for a boy on a lot of your social media, but she is, in fact, a girl.
She's gray and white.
I'm sorry, gray and white.
Yep.
How did the name Bandit come about?
It was someone that my daughter knew named her Bandit, and I'm not big on changing dogs' names, you know, so I felt like she already knew her name, and, when my daughter was on her own, you know, when she was on her own for a while, she had Chloe and Bandit with her. And then they came back here when my daughter came back home. And I didn't want to change her name. And we noticed that she stole things at an early age. And we thought, you know what?
That's a good name.
Because this dog is meant to have this name. So, you know, she couldn't be named anything else.
Very cool. So we gave kind of an in-depth look at all of the guys we have, and hopefully I don't miss any. We have Harley, mm-hmm. Gibson, Wolfie, Bandit, and Chloe.
Yes.
Very cool.
That's
age
right.
Ranging in age between 8 and 5, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Awesome. So I have to say, you must have one heck of a vet team. Do you use one particular vet, or do you go to specialists for different things?
You know, Chloe, for her surgery, was, of course, a specialist, an orthopedic surgeon that was recommended by my vet, and they actually were colleagues, and my vet had actually learned under this particular surgeon. I go to one veterinarian place, but we do have two veterinarians that are our primaries. There's a third veterinarian also that, you know, treats our dogs, but two of them are primaries. One Gibson has always seen for his epilepsy, but, you know, all three of them confer with each other. They're amazing vets. Their knowledge on things for cruciate care and for epilepsy is just astounding, that they are my experts. I respect what they have to say. If I read something, and come up with something for them that is a little maybe more holistic or off the beaten path, they're so receptive to it. They work with me on finding different things. With Gibson, you know, we talked about milk thistle, and they were 100% supportive. They're really there for them. I can call them anytime with any concerns. All the vet techs and staff, I really do have an amazing crew there. And I always say, if we ever move, they have to move their practice.
Yes. Do you find, Dorothy, that with multiple dogs, you know, again, the average family is just one or two dogs, and here both you and I are with a pack of dogs, literally. Do you find that there's, you know, just by nature, that there's more trips to the vet, more injuries, more sicknesses, et cetera, with this many dogs in your family?
Well, Well, if you'd asked me a couple years ago, I'd say, oh, we're doing good, you know, but I think the law of averages kicks in at some point. So,
right. Yes,
you know, initially with so many, I would have thought it would have been things like maybe bite marks or rough play or twisted ankles from running. And but fortunately, knock on wood, we've never had any of that. Now, as they're starting to get older, definitely, you know, we just seem to, one will get something. And again, with getting older, it seems to be things along the lines of bad knees, arthritis, you know, that type of thing.
So I just have one final question for you in regards to the dogs, and I know you want to promote a couple of things or a couple of projects that you're working on. My last question to you, Dorothy, of course, unless we go on some other tangent, I guess, is what about the pack structure? Is it more dog-revolved, or are you definitely entrenched in there? What I'm saying is, you know, when you have multiple dogs in the house, often they'll pack up. They will kind of run their own little roost, so to speak, and then humans are often second thought. Where do you guys fit in with all of your guys' issues and you know, pack, not necessarily issues, but dynamics, I guess?
That's a good question. I think basically they respect us as their pack leaders, and they know there's more than one because, you know, it's, you know, my daughter, my husband, and I are, you know, they pretty much respect it. Harley adores my husband, so it doesn't matter where she is or what she's doing. She's just such a big fan. They do, of course, when they come in, they're so excited, and I have a couple different toy baskets like people do with kids. I have toy baskets for them placed around. They know where they are. Wolfie loves to come in and just search out the toy basket. Bandit, of course, waits for him to pick what he wants, and then she tries to steal it and put it up on her chair, and that becomes a game. They come in, and they actually know which is their chair, who gets the couch, who gets the bed on the floor. So, you know, when they first come in, it's a little mayhem where they're in circles and they're all excited, and they, of course, hit every chair and, you know, go to the window, and then they go to the toy, and then they run down the hall, and then they come back. But then they settle down. They pretty much know where their spots are. And if they're in the living room, they know where they go. If they're in the kitchen, they sort it out amongst themselves, you know, where they go. It used to be they each had their favorite bed. Now they pretty much bed hop, and it's okay unless Bandit decides she wants everyone that everybody wants. So then you just have to go Bandit, you know, and we give her a little sign language, and then we have to come sometimes just let everybody kind of hunker down and then allow her to go down. But in the living room, she loves her chair by the window, and she's perfectly happy. They don't actually really push us around. I think we probably do revolve our life around them, but, you know, they really listen pretty well for the most part, and they don't really challenge us to say, like, oh, this is our house, even though if you look at my pictures, it really does look like it's their house. but they're actually very respectful, you know, so they're really good like that. And I will say that they were definitely trained like that too, and you can work with them that way. When we got the puppies, you know, I wasn't just freelancing. I was actually working, you know, in a career. And my daughter raised the puppies when they were little because I was actually out on the road most of the time. And she actually taught them, so if you tell one to sit, and they will still do it to this day, they go doink, 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 1, 2, 3, right in tandem. And we tell them things like when we let them out in the morning, our cue phrase is potty off the deck. And they all go in the train and go off the deck to go to the bathroom. And when you call them in, one or two commands, and they all come together. So it's kind of funny to see that, you know how they're trained at small sticks with them. So they're really good. I mean, you know, of course, every now and then you got to kind of ask one or two of them to do something a couple times because that's the husky way. But for the most part, they cohabitate well with us. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Awesome. Is there ever going to be, I know that you've already trademarked the Five Sides Mom. Is there ever going to be a sixth or seventh or more in the house?
Well, if you were asking me, I've had this conversation a couple times when a couple of these rescue pups have come up, and I'm like, yeah, honey. I would say right now, no, there wouldn't be. I honestly think that probably we're right at where we can handle as far as, you know, space for dogs and comfortably and you know. And the other thing, too, is, Robert, you know, you bring a new one in. These guys have such a good relationship with each other. When they first came on board, the pupsters, when we first brought the three pups at home, Gibson had a little bit of a hard time. He became very stressed out. I actually had a behaviorist come in just to make sure that what I was doing was right with, you know, migrating them all together and, you know, introducing them. And he would go off and sit by himself and profusely drool, which is a sign of course, stress. And it took about 3 weeks. I had to take him and Harley for separate rides, give him a lot of personal one-on-one time. I did a lot of separate things with him and Harley so I can reinforce that they're still important, they're not being replaced. And then he just started picking up on them and worked out a great little relationship. So I don't want to risk that again. I don't want to stress any of them out. I don't want to bring maybe another one in that, you know, would not be well in the mix, because I'm dedicated. When they come into my home, they're in my home for life. So,
right.
You know, right now, they get along wonderful. You know, we have a couple small challenges, as I said, with Bandit, but she's coming around, and she's actually going to be trained with signals and a vibration collar to help along with her deafness, and I think that's going to really, really be great for her. You know, to bring another one in the mix, I don't think it would be fair to the new one, to the five, you know, and that's aside from the fact that, you know, I don't think that the space would really be the proper thing, but it's more about how it would affect them. You know, I just don't think it would be the right thing. Now, if I ever moved and got property, I've already said I would love to do Husky Rescue, but, you know, that's a bucket list item.
And just think of all the marketing problems that you would have with changing all that stuff to the stick sibes and all that.
Yeah, I know people have asked me, too, well, what happens when I don't have five sibes anymore? But you know what? I look at it that these five guys are what started it. So in my mind, they'll always be five sibes, you know, whether they're with us, you know, physically or with us in spirit, they'll always be five sibes. So, you know, the name will stay.
Very cool. So, Dorothy, here in our last segment, I know we've overrun our time, but folks can always listen to us on podcast, and they'll hear the entire broadcast of us talking about your story and all of the five sibes that are so much a part of your life. The last part of this conversation is you have a couple of projects in the works. We talked a little bit about the next book coming out, Getting Healthy with Harley, is the tentative title. What else is happening?
Well, I'm, you know, as you know, I continue to do a lot of work for canine epilepsy, and you know, I have some articles. I started actually writing for some magazines. American Pet Magazine is one, also for the Dog Writers Association, and also for a new one, Forever Rescued Project. I just did a piece on epilepsy that will be coming out in their new magazine that they're going to launch later this year. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, and just really getting the word out on canine epilepsy. You know, I continue with the Live Give Strong epilepsy campaign that I will always do. And, you know, if people go to ArcticHousePublishing.com, they can see the various items we have available. One of the things I did was I put together a Give Strong epilepsy awareness resource booklet that, you know, I don't ask folks to buy that, but I do ask if they can help defer, you know, kind of help us with the price of printing, because it really is a nice booklet, but it also gives some great tips and resource places folks can go to, so they can check that out on the web as well. And we do have like different items that, you know, what we do is a percentage of the proceeds goes to Canine Epilepsy Resources and the Emmis Fund. And proudly enough, you know, we've collected $180 donation for them, previously $20 and previously $50. So to date, since we started it with the book, we've donated $250 toward that canine epilepsy fund. And, you know, a lot of people know that this year I've been working on a book, gathering stories. We have over 50 stories that have come in on a book on epileptic dogs that hopefully will be coming out this year. And again, you know, a portion of the proceeds after publication fees will go to the Canine Epilepsy Resources, and just kind of really get the word out there so that folks who maybe, you know, their dog just starts to have a seizure, they know, you know, we're out here, there's support, You know, so there's some great things. Just recently found out about the Wally Foundation. That's something great people should look into too, because they're here to help rescues and folks with financing resources for epilepsy. So that's something to check out. They have a Facebook page as well. So a lot of exciting things going on there with that. The next book, Getting Fit with Harley, when that does come out, contacted and selected the Save Our Siberians Cyberspace Fund too, and they fund a lot of different rescues when they have medical issues and stuff. They go to them, and they will be who that book will help benefit. A portion of proceeds I'm going to be donating to them.
Great stuff, and I know you and I have talked about the radio show. You have shows scheduled pretty far into the future, a lot of interesting topics coming up. One that I'm very interested in, I don't recall when it's happening, is the folks that are making the film about the serum run.
They are scheduled for May. We're booked almost, I believe we're booked actually until the end of the year. I just,
wow.
Not too long ago, booked our November guest for Canine Epilepsy Awareness Month. So, yeah, it's good. I still have a long list. I just try not to get too far ahead with the confirmations, but
very cool.
It's pretty exciting.
So the Sci-Vibe will continue on at least through the end of the year, and lots of great guests. And I always enjoy doing this. A couple of months ago, one of our most popular shows was with Jessica with Gone to the Snow Dogs. What a great show! I know Michelle hosted that when Tyler and I were out on a race. Can you tell us a little bit about that? So many people follow Gone to the Snow Dogs on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. What a great guest she was. Is she a fan of yours as well?
Yes, she is. Actually, she's one of the first people that helped promote us when we came on to the social networking scene. She shares, and she does periodically share a lot of my stuff with her followers, we do with hers. She's really a pretty cool gal, and you know, she's a lot of knowledge, and you know, she's really great with the dogs, and Gone to the Snow Dogs they're pretty awesome. So she brings everybody right into her life with them, and it's just really great because you can see what it's like living with huskies, different things you can do, exercising, she does recipes, she takes them on trips. It's, you know, really great.
And, you know, the reason I wanted to bring her up is, you know, we've talked a lot about what you do on social media with mainly in print, or at least in terms of text. And then, of course, with your show and your background as a photojournalist. But she's gone the other way. She does a lot with video. So I think that that social media and all of the outlets that we have today have really helped people make better dog owners, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I would like to say better dog parents.
Right.
I think, you know, I think the way people are looking at their dogs is very different than 20, 30 years ago. You know, they are members of the family. You know, dogs are a commitment, the same as with children. I bring one in my home, they're in my home. You know, they're part of my family. And I think the social networking, if they don't have the right education and the right tools and the right resources available to them, they sometimes, I think, make these poor decisions because they don't have any other information. Today, at a click of your mouse, you know, on your computer screen, and there is just so much information out there that, you know, it's not a viable reason anymore. I mean, if you have an issue that's come up with your dog, and most of it's training issues, you know, anyone can tell you behaviors can be changed. You know, it does take time, it does take patience, but, you know, if you go on the internet and you find reliable resources, and they're out there, go to Gone to the Snow Dogs page, go to one of the Husky Rescue pages, you know, and they have hordes and hordes of information. You know, Tales of the Tundra has great articles and things to read up on, and so does, you know, Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida, and there's Alabama. And if you go onto my page, you can find so many rescues to click on. Same thing on the blog, and they're fabulous resources, you know, because they work with these dogs all the time. There are trainers that we know of, and they're amazing, you know, you could just reach right out and talk to them, and they'll answer via email or Facebook page. So today, it really, it's absolutely great, and it's an essential tool for being a great dog parent, because the information, the education is there, and that's what I hope someday will make such a difference that there won't be these homeless and abandoned dogs anymore.
Is that your hope? Is that the future of everything you're trying to do, is through this education, that a lot of that just sort of goes away? I know that's a big task.
Huge.
To take on. But is that your hope, at least in terms of, you know, one breed at a time, whether it's the Siberian,
yep,
or the Labrador or whatever? Is that task even attainable, do you think?
I think it can be. It's monumental right now, and I think it's just mind-blowing when you look at one breed and then you open up and start looking at the other breeds, and you sit there going, how in the world can we save all these dogs? How can we stop this? And, you know, I know I had read that Cesar Millan had gone over to Europe, and in Germany they have hardly any of this issue, because the reputable licensed breeders have to be licensed and approved. All other dogs have to be spayed and neutered, and that's where we have to start from. My five are spayed and neutered. They're family dogs. I'm not breeding. That was one of the first things we did, and I think that is one of the first stops, because you have to stop these dogs from coming into the world that nobody is caring for, or accidentally, you know, and where do they wind up? It's shelters, and, you know, it just starts this huge cycle. So we have to start somewhere, and it's one of those things that's going to take a village. And, you know, and there's so many folks out there beyond me who are working so hard to make this happen, you know, with the No More Puppy Mills and no puppy stores, don't buy them from puppy stores. And these are all places to start, and that spay and neutering is so important. Unless you're a breeder, and you're positive you're not going to breed your dog, you know, get them neutered, get them spayed. You know, it's healthier for them anyway, you know. But, you know, again, you have a fine line, because people talk online. And, you know, I don't believe in bashing anybody for their decisions, but I think everybody has to look at the decisions they're making and see if they're having an adverse effect down the line. You know, if these dogs are paying with their lives, it's not a good thing. And somebody has to start somewhere.
And you're doing a great job. I know this is truly your passion, and you take a lot of time in doing it and spend a lot of effort and energy in trying to get that message across. And I think you're doing a great job with that. Like you said, there's probably one of you with every breed. You know, of course, being a dog trainer, I see a lot of these folks that are passionate about their particular breed. Like I said, the Labrador, the German Shepherd, the Portuguese Water Dog, the Pomeranian, whatever they are. But it's, like you said, it's going to take a village of folks that can really instill change. And I think there may be a high road to go, but at least it's a road that we can see down it, don't you think?
I think so. And I think having social networking helps, because every dog that we post, that we see, what I call a happy, and I'm just speaking within our breed, and this can go out across them all, but I call them happy. On our page, it's happy husky happy endings. But there are happy endings. And every dog that is posted and shared, and people sometimes think, oh, I'm not really helping. You know what? Sharing that notice of that dog that needs a rescue or needs a foster home or needs to be adopted, that is caring, because there are people who see it. And on my page alone, I've had people now write, and I feel like a godmother, because they write to me and say, thank you for posting it. I went out and got that dog. I don't think there's a better feeling, because all together we've done this. It's not one person, you know. With this is where social networking truly excels, because we can reach so many different people now, and transportation is not an issue. I mean, unless it's from a rescue who specifically says they have to adopt within their state, and some of them do, because that's where they do their house visits. There are other places where, you know, if you can get the transportation arranged, they will allow you to adopt it. And the one thing I do want to get out there is there's an organization called Operation Roger, and they also have a Facebook page, and there's also Operation Roger Pet Truckers Transport Facebook group. And if anyone would like to join them, just send in a request, tell them Five Sibes sent you. They have so many different resources available for transporting these dogs, and these truckers get together to help people transport animals. So there are many, many different ways of helping these dogs.
Very cool. Dorothy, anything else in closing? I know we're recording right now. We are over our time, but you know, obviously the mic is yours. Anything else you want to mention today? I love the stories about the five side guys and gals that you have. What a great way to really showcase them, because that is what you talk about most often is the life's trials and tribulations with all of those guys that are so much a part of your life.
Yeah, there's five kids, and I like to just, you know, highlight them, highlight the breed, show the breed, so people are aware of it. And just, I think other side parents, you know, we all kind of relate, you know, when the stories go out there, it just kind of brings us, you know, it's a homey feeling that this is how they should be. You know, they should be part of a family and loved and cared for and trained, and everybody does something a little different with them, and it's just nice to kind of connect and be out there together. And I totally appreciate everybody who, you called them fans before. I think it's great. You know, I love hearing back from them. I love seeing their pictures. I'm happy to repost, you know, birthdays and announcements. And sometimes, sadly, we have to post ones that have journeyed north of Rainbow Bridge. But, you know, we're there to be there for each other and for the breed. And I think it's a great thing. And I just want to tell everybody, listeners and readers, you know, really thank you for all the support. It really means a lot to us and to the Five Sibe guys.
All right, Dorothy, last thing, if you can roll them off as best as you can, where are all these places that people can find you, websites, email, wherever, release whatever you want.
Well, of course, we're the blog, which is my passion, which is the fivesibes.blogspot.com. Of course, on Facebook, Five Sibes Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews. We are on Twitter and Instagram under Five Sibes Mom, and YouTube. We do have a Five Sibes YouTube channel. We're not vloggers like Gone to the Snow Dog. They definitely have, you know, they in my book, they're tops in that. But we do post different things around the dogs. A lot of mine are what I call photograph slideshows of recipes, reviewing products, just them having fun. And more recently, the Five Sibes have been Vined, which is a new app, and it's just kind of like a couple-second looping video. And, you know, I've posted a few, gotten silly with a couple, but it's just for fun. So, you know, we can pretty much be found almost anywhere.
Very cool. And is there one particular landing point? Is it the blog or is it Facebook where people can really go and just kind of go everywhere with links and everything? Is that the blog site?
The blog site, yes, and there's a search box on the blog site in the upper left-hand corner. So if someone was looking for, say, all the stories on Gibson or canine epilepsy and wanted to follow his stories, they would just put in canine epilepsy in the search box, and it'll pull them up. You know, if they wanted to, whatever the topic was that they wanted to find out, they can kind of put in there. Also down, if they scroll way down at the bottom on the left-hand side, it lists by year and blog post, so they can scroll through there and see it. The Five Sibes website, Five Sibes space Facebook page. Oh, I'm getting tongue-tied. That's another great thing, but unfortunately with timeline, things keep right on rolling. But they can go into the About section, and in the About section, I list all the places that they can find us, as well as I've compiled a list of what to do if you've lost or found a husky or a pet. And over time, I keep adding to that, and I feel that's a pretty important resource. It lists all the different really great resources that are out there to help people and places to list their husky or their dog if they've lost or found it. So that's on the Facebook page as well.
Very cool. Dorothy, it was my pleasure. Until next time, we'll talk to you again, okay?
Thank you, Robert. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise. Enjoy the spring weather there in New York, and we'll try to have some of the snow melt up here in Alaska.
Sounds great.
All right. Dorothy Wills-Raftery is our guest on the Sibe Vibe. Make sure you listen to us next time on Dogworks Radio, dogworksradio.com. We'll see you guys then. Bye.